Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America. The Music of America podcast continues. Mums the Word is our guest today from Philadelphia, because we're still in Pennsylvania for a couple of more days. Hey, bass players, the bag. It's a high-quality leather gig bag family of products that are handmade in the United States with a sophisticated, very cool overall appearance. They're made of some of the finest quality leather and cushion available and meant to last you literally a lifetime. They've got over 30 years in the leather industry and extremely proud to introduce a line of gig bags targeted to both the skilled professional as well as the fun-seeking novice. Their hope is that you'll love their bag as much as they do. The bag. From Tony Vaughn Bass Bags, that's at www.tonyvaughn, Vaughn is spelled V-A-U-G-H-N, tonyvaughn.com. You can also find them wherever you buy online gear, like Sweetwater or Musician's Friend or Guitar Center. Places like that will all have the bag, full line of gig bags available for you as well. And our guests are from, well, not just Philadelphia, but also from Jersey. Brian and Ginny from Mum's the Word are our guests today. And Brian, why don't you explain that to us?
Well, yeah, I mean, we're all from South Jersey and Philadelphia, you know what I mean? We move back and forth. Right now, most of the band lives in Philly, but myself and Virginia are here in South Jersey, just across the bridge.
Gotcha. I'm not familiar with the area, so it's literally, you're just across the river from Pennsylvania, is that right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Say it three more times and it might actually register in my head.
Yeah, it's the area between Philadelphia and Atlantic City.
I can see Philly from here across the river, if that makes sense.
From my window.
The river, yeah. The river's right there. Philly's all the way across it.
Is it Ginny or Virginia? You said I have Ginny on here, but Brian just called you Virginia.
You can call me Ginny. You can call me Virginia. It's okay. My coworkers call me Virginia. Okay. My mom calls me Ginny.
Gotcha. Okay. And what is your role in the band, Ginny?
Me? I sing and I dance.
Okay. And dancing's a big part of you guys, isn't it?
Yeah, dancing and costumer. I mean, it's all part of our mummers' roots, you know, as Philadelphia mummers playing rock and roll music. That's what Mum's the Word is all about.
I love it, mummers. What is that, just because you call mummers those that follow your band, or is there a colloquialism that's mummers that means something about music followers in Philly?
Well, sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of members of the band are mummers, and a lot of fans of the band are mummers. Mummers is a Philadelphia New Year's Day tradition. It's a huge parade, the Philadelphia Mummers Parade. It has been going on for 100 years, and wow. And it's been going on for hundreds of years. Like, mummery is a old tradition at this point. It's very old.
And what is mummery?
It is the act of getting dressed up in costume and parading on New Year's Day. It's a sort of a dance. To mum around is to kind of strut using your arms and sort of like a marching motion with your legs. It's a lot of upper body dancing.
Oh. Fascinating. I've never heard of this before. It's just, you know, I've lived in Vermont for like 9 years, but I've never heard of this before. This is fascinating. So that brings a whole different meaning to the word Mum's the Word, you know?
As it's exactly what it does. Yeah.
Do you know what Mardi Gras is?
Oh, yeah. 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 I mean, okay. St. Louis, I grew up in St. Louis, and we've got like the second or Okay. And Brian, what is your role then? If Jenny's the singer and dancer, what is your role with the band?
So I'm the singer and composer, and I play the rhythm guitar, and I started Mum's the Word 7 years ago, and have been continuing this project and seeing it, you know, develop in a variety of really amazing ways. And Virginia's joined the group, and the version of the band that she joined the group with, we just put out our full-length album, Mum's the World.
That's clever.
In January. So.
Okay. And who is that was who big, in the band that was big is for not? What releasing an album? I'll bet that's a big thing. You know?
Yeah, with the current version of the band, it was really cool to put the music out there that, you know what I mean, that we've all been playing for the last couple of years, and we finally got to record it and put our name on it.
Right. Now, who is not with you guys tonight that's in the band, and tell us what they do? Let's give them a shout.
Everyone.
Okay, so yeah, there's a lot. Let's start with, I mean, we have a big network of musicians, and we normally perform with about 9 people. Sometimes it's a little less, sometimes it's a little bit more. But you know, the major players, I mean, I gotta talk about my man Mike Greaser, Charles Michael Greaser. He is one of the drummers, and he's been in the group he's been in it with me for the longest amount of time consistently. So gotta give him a shout. Sean Carrion, lead guitarist, he crushes. And he's been in the group just about as long as Virginia's been in the group now. We have David on the keys, coming back. He took a break. David Koster took a break from Mum's the Word to kind of build up his David Koster space radio project, and he just recently rejoined. And we've got Adam Baker, who
Bass Daddy
Baker, won Bassist of the Year at the Elephant Talk Indie Music Awards. Adam won Best Bassist, and Virginia and I were there to accept the award for Best Live Act. And this was at the Anchor Rock Club in Atlantic City. It's the same venue we had our album release party in December.
You guys sound like it's not just like going to a show. It sounds like it's a whole event, right? You're not going to a concert. You're going to see a whole performance, a whole bunch of stuff going on there.
It really is. I mean, we have, you know, a lot of times we get visual artists involved. Like at our album release, we had VJs, you know, playing videos in the background that some of them were partly improvised. Some of them were planned out ahead of time. And we have people that spin poi.
But we're not even done with all the band members.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. That's right. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
So we got Trey Diggs. He's on percussion. He's amazing and friendly.
Yeah. Trey Diggs and Wolf.
Trey's the hype man also. Yeah,
Trey acts as our hype man and percussionist and singer, occasionally a vocalist. Wolf is a drummer, 100%. You know, Wolf is so active in our community of musicians. He plays in so many different bands. We don't always have access to him. And same with Adam Williams. Adam Williams is involved with the group in a major way. He's a drummer, but he also provides us with rehearsal space and has been like, he's really taking care of the group and helped us kind of make smart decisions because he's a little bit more experienced in the music industry. He tours sometimes with some bigger acts. You know what I mean? I don't want to drop too many names, but he right. does well for himself and has helped us a lot. And we've got so many people. Tia just recently joined the group. So
Tia the cat that was just singing just now?
No, that's Faye. She's not in the band, but she wants to be.
Okay. She sounds like she says yes.
She does have a good song to sing.
Yeah, that sounds fun, man. It sounds like you guys don't just you don't sit down and necessarily just write a song. You're planning like a whole production, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, a lot of times.
So you do most of the lyrics then, Brian, or do you compose the music as well? Do you do the whole thing, or do you have input from other band members?
So yeah, out of our 30 official releases, I've got about 25 of them are mine. And I write the
Wow.
lyrics to and the chord structures to the songs. Now, I'll take chord structures to different versions of the band over the years, and sometimes the songs gel well with the band, and we'll get a good version of that song and we'll record it. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way, and we'll shelve versions of, we'll shelve songs, or we'll shelve chord structures, and versions of the band eventually will come along who will be more, just they'll just play the songs a different way that kind of opens them up to recording.
Gotcha. So the first of your songs we're going to listen to, and I want to hear stories about all of these, but how they come about, just so you have that in kind of front of mind or top of mind or whatever they say now. First one we're going to listen to is called Rosie. So Rosie can have all kinds of connotations to it. It could be a girl's name, it could be a color, it could be, well, I won't go in a lot of directions I could go. So I'll just have you explain who or what Rosie is in reference to.
Oh wow. Okay. Rosie was just kind of the name that fit. You know what I mean? I had the song pretty much written out. I knew how I wanted it to go, and I had help from one of my bandmates with regards to how to play the chord progression, like a change in how to play the chord progression. And something about when we were just jamming it, it just opened it up, and the name just came to me. It just fit. It was the right syllables. It was the right amount of syllables. And it's there's no significance to it.
Okay.
Honey,
I
baby.
call that the I call it the convenient rhythmic pattern, You find the
But
word that fits just right there.
it could have been any name. Like it could have been like Jenny, right? Like or Joni. I heard you're tired and lonely, but like it ended up being Rosie. It just worked.
That's cool.
So you had with this one, you had the music first and you wrote words around it, right?
Exactly. I had most of the words already, just not the name. But this one kind of
I
came
gotcha.
together at the same time with the idea that I had for this song was th I was intentionally writing it for our bass player at the time. His name is Dom Levy, and he plays in a pretty successful cover band that's branching back out into playing original music lately, called Fat Mez. And they're a pretty cool band, but he played bass with us for years, contributing to the first and second albums. And I
Gotcha.
had envisioned him singing the song, or his counterpart Billy. I had written it for one of them to sing, and neither of them were taking it. So we actually changed the key, and I sang it. So, how it goes
And are there
sometimes.
songs sometimes, Jenny, are there songs sometimes you say, can I try that and try my hand at it? Or songs just kind of assigned to you?
There's some songs sometimes where I'm like, oh, I like that part. I want to do that part. But usually Brian will write something and be like, I wrote this for you to sing. Or like he'll
Oh,
write me a
okay.
rap or something.
Yeah, lately Virginia and I have been writing more together, and
Oh,
but
that's fun.
at first when we met, it was a lot of okay, well, this is I need a voice here, or I need a, or she would say, hey, I would like to sing this song, or try and sing this line by myself instead of us singing it together. And it was a lot of fun. figuring that out. You're right.
It's fun. But right now we're going to listen to the first one we talked about, which is Rosie, our guests, Mum's the Word from Philadelphia and Jersey, South Jersey, Jersey Shore, mm-hmm. all of the above.
Not that south.
Not that south. Okay. We'll just go with Philadelphia. That's safe because we're in Pennsylvania this week anyway. Mum's the Word is the band right here on the Music of America podcast.
Little bit of your time.
I said, Rosie.
I said, Rosie.
Rosie with Mum's the Word from Philadelphia here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. We're going to come back and talk about a couple more songs with Mum's the Word. But I want to talk about B-Normous Productions. B, the letter B, Normous Productions. They've been producing and recording music and videos for over 20 years. After years as a performer, the owner, Van Vierhoeven, decided to get back to that which he loves the most, production. After tutelage under Jordan Valeria, he opened up his own place in Milliken, Colorado. High-end instruments, high-end tools, all on hand to make you sound as good as you can and make your own sound compete with that of your favorite records. It's a really cool goal, and that goal is to just make you look and sound as good as you possibly can and as professional as you possibly can. B-Normous Productions. Go make some videos. Go make some records. That's B, the letter B, Normous Productions. They're on Facebook or at www.bnormousproductions.com. We're with Brian and Ginny or Virginia or Bri or Bri Guy. Okay, we're with Mum's the Word.
All right.
And it's interesting that with something you said that you can have, how many, what's the largest number of members you've had performing at a gig with you? Like, you've got a pool of what, 30 people to pull from?
Yeah, we've pushed it before. I think we had 13 people on stage at Beard Fest. I think that's the most amount of people we had on stage at a time was 13 at Beard Fest.
Yeah.
But I think throughout the performance, there was like 15 people that we cycled through or something like that. I mean, it has gotten out of control at times. It depends on what kind of guest list we have and, you know, what kind of musicians, what kind of event it is. If the musicians really want to get into the event and, I have a big guest list to work with, and I can have a bigger band, you know?
And, Ginny, did I catch you earlier say that you do a lot of marketing or promoting of the band?
Or I do.
Do that?
We both do, yeah. but like Brian does a lot of the social media stuff. He makes a lot of the videos mm-hmm. and, flyers and everything like that. He's, good with Canva and CapCut and, you know, all these new things. We just, you know, got a TikTok this year and started doing all these things just to, like, originally to start promoting the new album, because, like, we want to put out this album, we want it to go somewhere, we don't want it to just get lost in the sauce, you know, amongst everything. So
that seems to be like you get together, you write a bunch of songs, you produce an album, and then you go on tour. Basically, that seems to be the case with a lot of musicians. And I'm just wondering how you market your band and how many can you take on the road with you? Or do you just play right there in the Philly, Jersey area?
Well, so yeah, we do a lot of regional touring. We tour regionally.
A bus.
And so we did collectively, Virginia and I invested in a bus so that we can do national touring. And between her involvement with the Carnival of the Arts and our procurement of a bus, we've been able to go to California the last couple years, and we're coming up on our third national tour.
And how do you line that up? I mean, I guess you send out videos, right?
Elbow grease, yeah.
I mean, honestly, I research, you know, we go across and we say, where do we want to go? Who do we know and where can we stay? Pretty much like, where can we stay? And when we find a place we can stay, we, you know, look up all the places around there, reach out to them, email, phone call. And it's usually like places that our homies can like find us a place to perform at or, you know. Right now, but that was kind of like what we did last year. This year, we're kind of trying to collaborate with other bands to do tours with and to do performances with.
Venue, because your show is so unique. What you guys do is so unique. How do you look for a venue that says, and how do you pitch that? I guess like say, hey, we got this really unique thing. There's a lot of action, a lot of movement, a lot of music.
One thing we've noticed. One thing we noticed is that the psychedelic music genre kind of accepts us across the board. So anything that's like a Grateful Dead venue or a music festival, okay, those kind of things tend to hire the full band, and we'll get more full band gigs with those opportunities. And if the Dead and Company or Fish is on tour, we oftentimes will play the lot. We'll purchase a vendor spot and go down to Shakedown Street and perform with a couple of gas generators and a small PA system, and just take the band on lot. And the lot loves us. You know what I mean? We're colorful.
Yeah.
We're playing psychedelic music. It's rock and roll, so it's friendly to them.
There's a festival, and I'll find out the name of it. It'll probably come to me during the course of the show, up in northern Vermont, and it's something puppet. I can't remember what it's called, but it's a big thing. You guys would be such a natural for there. It's an outdoor venue, and people just fill up the hillside. You know, it's they sit outside, and they do. They're very political, you know, but they're also very much fun, and they're family friendly. People bring their kids out there, and they'll interact with the kids, and it's just a fun event. Oh. I think you guys would be a natural for that.
What's it called?
I'll find out the name of it if it doesn't come to me. I'm old, dude. I forgot what I had for breakfast.
That's okay, man. Yo, no sweat. But yeah,
I'll find out. If it doesn't come to me by the end of this podcast, then I'll send you an email, because I think it's a natural for me, for what you guys are, what I've heard of your music and what you're telling me about it. This is just, you could just probably send them a video and say, I know you want to hire us, when.
Yeah, right, for sure. I mean, and so that's the mentality we have to take a lot of these things with. It's like, look, we know we do well at music festivals. I know you've never heard of us, but your people are going to love us. And it's not for every music festival, because some music festivals are like, well, who are you going to bring? And it's like, well, we're from out of town. Right. So what we can offer a music festival is like, oh, well, we're like, around us, we have a festival called Threestival, and they're always trying to change it up. They do have like homie bands who play there consistently, but they're always trying to change it up and bring in new bands from out of town. And that exists in other places. Just finding it is, you know, it's the struggle, and that's what we go through. We book our own tours.
That's cool. And we don't have to pay a promoter. You know, and you don't have to be misrepresented. You say, this is what we do. You know, that's cool.
But I mean, you know, so if there ever is any agents or promoters out there, that's, you know, look in the book. Really rad band that kicks ass. You know, one of a kind. Pretty super stellar. Unique individuals. We're here. Right here.
Good sales pitch, Jenny. Keep it up. Since we're talking about a road trip, tell me about the song Road Trip, because that's the next one we're going to play.
Yes. Yeah, so after our first year of tour out west, we came back, and Brian had wrote a song about our adventures on our first tour, which is pretty much that song.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty when you listen to it, it's self-explanatory. I mean, if you didn't understand what the song's about after listening to it, I don't know what to tell you. But
yeah, we did go to California,
visit
the hot springs.
Our bus did break down in Arizona. We did have to leave it behind. Virginia rented a truck that got us the rest of the way there. And actually, David followed us in the car,
Funkelbird mobile.
So he picked up an extra person, and then we crammed five people into this truck and put all the gear in the flatbed of the truck.
That's
how that worked out.
But it was fun.
We had a good time. It was the best time.
Great enough, Brian wrote a song about it.
Yeah, there it is. And there's a song.
It's great.
There we go.
All right.
Well, we're going to give it a listen to right now and hear all about your road trip from Mum's the Word, the song called Road Trip, here on the Music of America podcast.
Mm-hmm. things from time to time. Made our peace with the sand. Thought I'd find myself along another line. Lost my way in the city of rock. When the moon was red like love. Made our peace with the sand. Traveled on to find another land. California, where the rain never falls and the hot springs flow.
Road Trip with Mum's the Word here on the Music of America podcast. Growing up in St. Louis, the blues has been a strong influence in my life and has been my entire life, really. In fact, one of the logos we use here on the Music of America podcast, you'll see a band called the Alabama Serenaders. They're way back. It's an old Dixieland jazz band from the 1930s. Well, right there in the middle is my grandfather playing his clarinet, okay? Well, the Soulard Blues Festival, the B3 Blues Festival, really showcases that deep-rooted blues heritage. The B3 Blues Festival in St. Louis is an outdoor concert festival held in historic Soulard Market. Great blues acts, great blues music, industry workshops. They partner up with the Soulard community, the restaurants, the stores, whatever. They have some quirky little art stuff and music craft vendors, even family activities, face painting, and more, all available at the B3 Blues Festival. Find out more about it. If you're a blues person, you got to come see it. Check them out at www.soulard3fest. Interesting, this year would be the first year that they actually have a B3 organ on stage. They wanted me to tell you that. Okay. We're with Jenny and Brian from Mum's the Word from Philadelphia and Jersey. I guess Jersey City? Just having a brain.
No, we're South Jersey, okay. Like the Pine Barrens.
South Jersey.
South Jersey, but we're mostly Philly and South Philly. I mean, it's like some Mummers. You know, the Mummers are South Philly, gotcha. And most of the band is Philly.
Gotcha. I'm really excited about this last song. So you remember the song, the band Toto, right? You know the band Toto?
For sure.
Yeah, and one of my favorite songs on one of their favorite songs they've ever done is a song called Africa. And what gets me is this one line. And when they talk about the sands of Kilimanjaro, the sun of Kilimanjaro, or whatever, rising above the Serengeti.
Right.
How do you write that into a lyric? You know, and you've done a whole song on Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, right.
So tell me about that.
Yeah, I mean, Kilimanjaro it seems to me like this infinitely timeless idea, you know what I mean? As old as mankind. Yeah. And so you can really get the full perspective in this composition. You know, I've layered each of the parts of the song from a different perspective. So, the A part of the song, the first part of the song, talks about the perspective of striving to be free, don't stop moving to the street. It's very narrow and specific to an individual. The B part of the song, the second part of the song, is more broad, talking about the concept of why must we waste our life? Why must we waste our time? Speaking almost as like the human race. And then zooming all the way out, the one who climbed Kilimanjaro, sailed the seven seas. It's almost looking at the human race from the outside throughout history all at once. So it's...
So instead of like an individual, you're looking at that individual is called the human race and all the accomplishments or all the things that they have done or can do, right?
Right. Each part of the song moves. It shifts through the perspective, mostly narrow perspective, a broader, and then an incredibly broad perspective.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, how do you put the music with that theory? How do you get that image? Does that image come to you? Like, I want to do something like this. And then you start playing around with music until you get...
Well, I had
musical image you're trying to create.
I had personally, I've always delved into understanding more about the artists who inspired me to create art. So I've read all the biographies available to me about all the artists whose albums I've really, you know, memorized or, you know, included, made part of my life. I've taken note to study their lives, and with regards to like that idea, it came from studying Patois, the language of the like Rastafarians. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah. The way that they structure their sentence structure with it's the same way. It's an incredibly specific perspective, a much broader perspective, and then an incredibly broad perspective, all addressing the same issue three different ways.
Cool. Well, we're going to play it. And now that we know what you're listening for, instead of just, instead of just listening for music, it always helps to have context.
Absolutely.
And that was a very, very clear and concise contextual explanation of what the song is. Instead of just listening to a song, now we can listen to it with that understanding. Cool. Thanks. So Mum's the Word is the band and the song Kilimanjaro.
moving to the streets. Liberation and salvation, come on, listen here with me. Make your bread every day, make enough to eat. Bring that money home to honey, or go spend it in the street. You take your freedom for yourself, rely on no one else. Be the governor to govern for your free time. Make your wealth, step right up, play some games. Sit right back and have a drink. They give you time to spend, but never give you time to make you free. The life from this earth, bring a dollar to this world. Say, baby, that it's okay, and then hope for nothing but take some time. Clear your head, make mistakes and go to bed. Try hard and to be modest on that lightning strike your head. The one who might kill a Manjaro. Sail the seven seas.
The seven seas.
Go through the depths of creation. A part of human beings.
Human beings.
We're high, high on the mountain. And up into the trees.
Kilimanjaro with Mum's the Word, our guests here today on the Music of America podcast. Our guests have been Brian and Ginny and Faye the Cat, and thank you guys for being on here. This is the part where I get to shut up, and you guys get to just talk and talk. This is the segment of the show we call Shameless Self-Promotion, and just tell us what's coming up in April, what's coming up the rest of the summer, albums, CDs. You've got a new album out now. Talk about that, where we can find it, buy it, purchase it, buy your merch, anything and everything. Go.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you for having us on the show. We really appreciate it.
This was a lot of fun. Thank you.
We first want to talk about the cause. We first want to talk about the cosmic.
Wait, Faye, wait, no. Let Faye say what she has to say. She's not. She's. I haven't singled her out at all through this whole show, and she's probably really upset with me by now. So, Faye, go ahead.
Come on, Delgato.
Yeah. Say. Now she's.
Now she's like,
got
whoa.
Cold feet. Like, no, I'm not going to. No.
Yeah, I got her really high on catnip. And she's
still scratching her ear like she couldn't care less. Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. That was your shot at being our mascot, and you just blew it, buddy.
Completely blew it. Okay.
So
back to you. Shameless self-promotion.
We have some shows coming up. The Cosmic Experience is a production that Virginia, myself, and the owner of Cosmic, Alec, have been putting together. It's a two-night event. That's an indoor music festival on Friday, March 29th, and March 30th, Saturday, March 30th. I can't wait to announce the whole lineup, but it's going to be a great experience. Like I said, two-night event for only $70.
It's an indoor music festival sleepover. Like, you can sleep over at the venue.
Right. There's indoor camping at the venue. So we provide people with a space to set up their tents and their moon mats and things like that. And we have silent disco. We have open mic. We're going to have three performances on Friday and at least three performances on Saturday. Just a lot of fun planned for that.
How long do you guys play on a venue like that? Would you do like an hour and a half or 45 minutes?
Well, so at that venue, we typically do a 90-minute set. However, because we'd be closing out the event, we may play for a couple hours or more, depending on how late they'll allow us
it
to keep.
It is a sleepover.
It's a sleepover.
We might be able to play until 6 o'clock in the morning.
We might get away with it. I mean, playing psychedelic music, there is nothing like a solid 4 or 5 or even 6 hour format show. You can do a lot of fun things with that, you know?
No kidding. That sounds so cool.
Yeah.
And then your album is out now, and you have a website, or how do we get your merch and your albums and your songs and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Our website is mumsthewordmusic.com. You can go mumsthewordmusic.com/shop, and that is where you'll find all of our merch. But you can check us out on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook. I mean, we are on Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, every SoundCloud, Bandcamp, any platform you can think of, we're on it.
Yeah, you can follow our tour also too on our website. There's a little drop down for our tour for the season of this upcoming season, And you could see all of our upcoming shows there, too.
Speaking of upcoming shows, we have some upcoming shows as mini-mums. The Acoustic Trio will be at the American Legion on April 7th, Sunday, courtesy of our pal Denny Horn. And we'll be at 551 West later that month. It's just another small bar that we'll be performing at as a trio to try and kind of keep everything moving in the right direction until we can get to our tour, which is happening this spring.
And do you have any of the legs? Do you have any of your tours scheduled so far? I thought you said California, right?
We do, yeah. So our last event on our way out is 424. We're going to be opening for Squeaky Feet at the Falzer Club, and then we head out to Denver. We have a couple of shows booked in Denver, a couple of gigs as mini mums. Prost Brewing for one, and then we'll be at So Many Roads.
Oh, that place is great. That venue is amazing. It's a Grateful Dead museum in Denver.
Oh, wow.
And it's super cool. They're cool there.
It's so a museum and go back venue. There. Yeah, we loved it there last year on tour, so we're going back.
That's so awesome, man.
And then
What's cool about this is hearing how excited you are about doing what you want to be doing. I just love that.
Oh, dude, you should wait till we get. This isn't even the good part of our tour.
Oh man, for real.
So, like, the main thing is we made this tour based around an event that I throw with my friends called the Carnival of the Arts, and we throw an event in Hakumba, California, in May, and we perform there too. So. Not only do we perform there, but like we got to run the event too when we get there. So, you know, got to work put on the whole production.
Right.
So
we get there days early to set it up. We stay late to break it down. We're off. We're performers, but we're full parts of the production staff. And it's really cool to get your hands on, you know, some equipment that you normally wouldn't be able to get your hands on. And you're responsible for helping assemble it or set it up or carry it or breaking it down. It's really cool to be involved in the production. And Virginia makes that all happen, you know, with her involvement of the Carnival of the Arts.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
There you go, Virginia.
Yeah. But yeah, we're really excited about that. We're doing a couple of things out in California. The Dead's playing at the Sphere in Las Vegas while we're out on tour, and we're going to do another pop-up show there. So whoever's going to be out there, we will be there.
Yeah, we'll be in Vegas for the Sphere, definitely.
We're going to do a free show
on lot. Yeah, we'll do a show on lot. We want to do the Carnival of the Arts after party at the Holding Company in Ocean Beach. That is something we've done the last couple of years and have had so much fun. But then this summer, I mean, we're scheduled to do Weekend at Bertha's, Willie's.
We do a lot of music festivals on the East Coast while we're around here. And we're really excited for this year. We're doing a lot that some we've never done before.
Yeah, we are. We're doing a lot of music festivals. Moon Groove Festival and Willie's are both new to us. Weekend at Bertha's is new to us. But a couple of tried and true carnival. We might be back at Threestival, hopefully. I would love to be back at Summer Threestival. And we talked about the Rotunda is another venue that we're going to be playing at the end of our tour. We're going to do one final stop back in Philly at the Rotunda. I don't know if we can announce who we're going to be playing with yet, but it's another production by Denny Horn that I'm very excited about.
I put it up on our website.
This sounds fun, and you'll find out about it when you can make it available. It'll be available on your website, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It is a show with Mono Means One. So the bass player from Source, right? His side project, Mono Means One. It's up on their website, so we're allowed to say it. I think we're allowed to say it now.
That's official. That's cool, man. Well, Good luck to you. Good luck to you, and have fun, and stay in touch, and check out that Bread and Puppet. It's called the one up in Vermont. It's called
Bread
and
Puppet. It's man. We'll be up really in Vermont. Cool, we'll be playing shows your way in no time, man.
Yeah, we'll come and visit.
Cool. And then maybe we'll make it down for a mummery someday. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Oh, I would love that. I would love for you to come down and see the parade. Oh, hell cool. Yeah.
Brisket?
I know, man. Well, thanks again. Mum's the Word, our guest today. And up next, we're going to wrap up our visit with Pennsylvania with Michael Botts Band.
You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. If you like today's show, please go to the website at www.musicofamericapod.com or our Music of America podcast Facebook page. Like us and follow the show and episodes. We tally the votes of all our shows, and the most listened to shows will be rebroadcast on our best of shows at the end of the season. I look forward to having you with us again and listening to the Music of America.